Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Shack of mystery to beat conspiracies, curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. All my findings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
In the shack, the truth will be found.
Isn't that awesome?
That's pretty good.
Okay, now
where did Daniel find that?
Daniel Wilbur, welcome back to Conspiracy Check.
I'm Wilbur.
Now that is sung by an AI, not written. A listener wrote that for us.
Wow.
So I was going to sing it to the melody that he wrote it for, and I just was having a lot of trouble with it.
Okay.
So I just was like, those AI song ones, you know, they're like $6. So I'm like, I'll try it, right?
Yeah.
So I got it and tried it nine times. I did it nine times because it was written. You remember like 2 months ago, I started singing Come With Me to a World of Pure Imagination, but for the shack.
Right.
So he took those first two lines that I did and he wrote a whole song.
Nice.
I had to tweak it a little bit on some of the stuff just with the AI.
To make it sound flow.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was like a little extra word here and there and that kind of stuff. So it's our buddy from Texas that has one of the hardest names to pronounce.
Oh boy!
So I'm gonna play it. I'm just gonna play his name.
Okay, so my name, close enough. You can just call me Aaron, and everyone that knows me will know who you're talking about. If you want to pronounce it correct, it is Uran.
Uran.
Uran. It is not spelled either way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Uran.
Yeah, so he wrote all the lyrics. Like I said, I just had to tweak it a little bit.
That was great.
It was fun. It's really cool.
Raising quail, homeschooling kids.
I'll read you the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because I know your headphones are awful. That is why I wanted your headphones. Did you hear all of it or not?
Yes, I did. There's only a couple of parts where it got scratchy. I had to move the cord around.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the lyrics.
Okay. Let's hear it. Or
give me a second. It's loading.
Oh, okay. Well, while it's loading, try yourselves, hop on down to flavorsforest.com and get yourself the latest and greatest flavors of the forest, garlic dust line, Bigfoot breath, the main garlic product from Flavors of the Forest. I put it on everything. If you like garlic and you like your food to have garlic on it, this is the ultimate product for you.
So it's come with me to a shack of mystery, talking conspiracies and curiosities. Spin the tale of Daniel and Wilbur's lore. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more.
Oh.
Mothman sightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies.
Who's that?
There's one of the Crypt of the Corn Boys, I believe.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. Yep. They say we're free, but we know that that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes.
That's right.
Mel's Hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, the government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids. Government's education fail.
Yep.
Collecting rain, though it's in quotes, illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In the shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth. We won't be sold.
That's awesome.
Isn't that really cool?
It's really good.
So I know it's, like I said, it is AI performed. Because the one guy I was talking to, I was on Fiber and stuff like that, like trying to get it done. Nobody was understanding
that
what I was asking for.
A song?
Because, like I said, he wrote it in pure imagination.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the tempo for pure imagination.
From Willy Wonka.
And nobody understood it.
Well, it's because...
Because all these people on Fiverr, at least the ones I was dealing with, not all of them. A lot of them were just going to plug it into like the thing I paid for.
Right, yeah.
And that's like, so my extra directions
were
very confusing because they're like, no, you just write a paragraph and I'll bring you a song in an hour.
Right, yeah. The easy way.
Yeah.
We need someone to actually produce a song.
I think the lyrics are
but
really
no,
cool.
It was great. It was great. I wasn't ready for that. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah, so that's why I said you had to have your headphones ready.
Nice. Yeah, I enjoyed that. So,
Uran, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it. Nice little shake up to the Shack. And, you know, we're all about that. The Shack's all about, you know, the future and new things coming and good things. And that was a good thing. So, you know what? Chalk it up on the board. Thanks, Uran.
Uran. All right. Ready to talk about today's topic?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
De Beers.
Oh, De Beers. I remember that. Yes, we had a short discussion about this.
Yeah, no, the horrible diamond industry.
So De Beers diamonds, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What makes them so special?
Nothing.
What's the conspiracy?
There's no conspiracy. It's more about...
What's the facts?
Showing you about how easily markets are manipulated and goods or services are sold at sometimes 40,000% markup.
It's gracious.
I think that's the number. We'll talk about it later.
Markup?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I have a presentation from Berkeley University about De Beers and all their horrible actions. Oh, which I thought was interesting.
Now, I like De Beers.
Yeah, De Beers. And it's literally D-E, you know, big D-E space Beers.
Yeah.
I think there's a government's trying to break in.
It break into the Shack, yeah.
So De Beers is an iconic diamond company. They underwent a remarkable transformation from a monopoly into an adaptable industry player, which we'll talk about. That's not quite true. This one is from, I think, the Wall Street or something like that, this little intro into De Beers as a company.
Oh, so it's going to spin them positive,
yes.
Huh?
Yep. Overcoming challenges such as market saturation and shifting customer preferences. That's a way to spin it.
Yeah.
De Beers pivots their proves their strategies, embracing transparency, sustainability, and technological involvements. None of those things are true. These are the most shadowy, massive company that have. They have probably just as much blood on their hands, if not more, than some of the industrial military complex companies.
That's a high claim there.
We'll talk about it. They wiped out whole countries.
Oh, wow.
For diamonds.
Like countries in
the world.
You know, like what continent specifically?
I think Africa and the Middle East.
That makes sense.
Isn't a continent, but you know, Middle East is kind of shared. Depending on where you are in the Middle East, you can be in Europe, you can be on the continental shelf. I mean,
right.
You can be in Europe, Asia, or Africa.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of meeting up spot.
That Mediterranean East area.
Yeah. The evolution marked by the end of price fixing and the introduction of ethical source diamonds and lab grown alternatives underscores De Beers' resilience to ongoing relatively and dynamic diamond industry. I will say the lab-grown thing.
Yeah.
We'll talk about their marketing strategies for that.
Uh-huh.
That is probably their biggest thorn on their side right now.
I think I know why, but...
And there's still like 1,000% markup on lab-grown diamonds.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen so when I was looking for like rings and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
A lab-grown diamond is like a lot of times a fifth or a tenth the cost of the same carat weight of a natural diamond.
Okay. But they're both diamonds.
They're both diamonds.
So it's the same thing.
But De Beers did this whole thing. Like De Beers, here's another thing we'll talk about. They own pretty much every major jeweler. I can't say that word.
Jeweler? Jewel?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can't say it either.
Jeweler. Yeah. Jeweler.
Company in the world. Or have their hands in it some way, shape, or form.
Every kiss begins with K.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't look up the actual, what ones they own.
Okay.
But they ran the market on it for over 100 years, Monopoly.
Okay.
When monopolies are illegal.
Well, tell Bill Gates that.
Adapting to change. De Beers' strategy shifting from the diamond industry. De Beers, a renowned name in the diamond industry, finally altered their landscape to diamond trade, leaving an identifiable mark on its evolution. From establishing a monopoly over diamonds, mining, training, and revolutionizing market strategies, De Beers' influence has shaped the diamond industry forever, despite facing challenges in adapting to changing market dynamics. De Beers remains a dominant force synonymous with the diamond market. Like, so my grandpa was a jeweler.
Okay.
Like, he dealt with gems and that kind of stuff. De Beers, if you're in that field, you know what De Beers is. Like, De Beers literally changed the world when it came to these worthless rocks.
That's good marketing.
They are worthless.
What do you mean?
Diamonds are worthless.
Oh, that's very good marketing, man.
They are. Did you see that an African lead? I can't remember which country. He's like the president of one of these countries in Africa. They have diamond mines and stuff like that. They brought the biggest diamond found in like 50 years.
Uh-huh.
Do you see it?
Uh-uh.
You should look at a picture. It's like the size of a softball.
The blue diamond or something?
No, it's just a diamond.
Okay.
They're not rare.
Okay.
They're not. It's like coal, right? You know, it's carbon. It's just compressed carbon.
Right, yeah.
So it's deep coal veins produce diamonds.
Okay.
Not just coal veins. You know, there's more to it than
but that. Yes, it's just compressed carbon.
It's hyper-compressed carbon.
Yeah.
And the crystalline structure makes it very, very hard. But it's still... anyways, sorry. I'm getting into later stuff now.
Okay, but stay...
Basically, I'm going to get into this presentation about that Berkeley University did.
Okay.
They set up a nice PowerPoint. We're just going to kind of go through it together.
I'm ready. I'm ready for this. I want to know what De Beers, what's behind them.
Oh, my gosh. 1 second. There we go. And I'm not going to put this PowerPoint anywhere because I'm going to read it to you.
Right.
There's no pictures or nothing like that. It's just words.
Okay.
So this is by William Yu from Berkeley University. The Rise and Fall of a Mega Monopoly. De Beers, the rulers of the diamond industry. Brief overview. The diamond market is estimated at, you have any guess?
$1 billion.
Much more.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
A year.
Just how much they make in a year?
Yeah. How much trades and sell? Yeah.
$42 billion.
Closer. 30 to 35 billion.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's a good margin.
Keep in mind, this does not count like the secrets of the blood diamonds and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, diamond. So here's one thing for you. Do you know why gold for a long time was useful?
It's a very good conductor.
I'm not talking about the last 100 years. I'm not talking about the last 200 years. Why have humans liked gold and silver for a long time?
Because it's shiny.
Not just. There's plenty of materials we discovered well early on that are shiny and pretty.
It's conductive qualities. It's thermal.
It's malleable.
Ooh.
With a low melting point.
Okay, or that.
Relatively speaking. You could melt it and form it, and then you could shape it.
Hmm.
So that's why, now gold and silver has different, like you were talking about with electronics and superconductors.
Different
and,
uses, know, yeah.
Has different uses now, but it's still, besides jewelry, has a use.
Okay.
That's why gold. Like, gold you could make. You could intricate, detailed materials.
Oh yeah,
with
like
gold.
Little figurines.
Like
little...
pig iron when we were mousing with gold was just basically, you know, the bare minimum of hard metals, like stuff you could hit somebody with and kill them with.
Right.
You know, gold, you can bend a big piece of gold. People bend their gold rings all the time.
You can melt it down and pour it over someone's face.
That was half of Grandpa's job. Was just like they would bend so easy. You'd bend rings so easy.
So he was
pure gold.
He was just straighten them back out.
So they have no practical use.
Diamonds?
Diamonds have no practical use.
Well, they scratch. Yeah, they do.
Name one.
Diamond tip saws.
Yes, because they're cheap.
Yeah, but that's the practical use.
There is better things for that. That is because why the diamond saws and that kind of stuff became to be in modern day.
Yeah,
because
it's super sharp, hard.
Because all of the lab-grown defects.
Yeah.
That's a surplus. There is many better things to use. That's why they're cheap. You can go buy a diamond-bladed saw bit for what? $5, $10.
It's your practical use, though.
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
So the average jewelry diamond, it really doesn't. It's because it's the same thing with these guys making a market demand for something. They don't cut any better than other products. They're extra. It's like the fluoride in toothpaste.
Oh, gosh.
It's a byproduct that they're getting rid of that they're charging you a premium for.
Yeah, I can see that.
So there's no practically, like, there's other, by that, I mean, there's already other things that are cheaper that work better.
But aren't they the hardest thing?
No, they're the hardest naturally occurring mineral.
Okay.
That's another thing we're going to talk about, is you just fell for De Beers.
What's that?
They're the hardest thing out there. They can cut through titanium.
Right.
Shut up.
They can cut through, I don't know, anything. Adamantium.
So, the average jewelry diamond. We're talking anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000, you know, the average diamond you go and look at.
How many carats is that?
I can't remember.
I have no, I don't know that stuff.
Do you want to guess how much they're worth on average, industrially?
Like what people pay?
If there was no jewelry demand for them, what they would be used for, what their price point for industrial use would be.
Now, $50.
$2 to $30, depending on the size and the cut.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Nothing. For a $10,000 diamond is actually worth $30.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty ridiculous.
So the price of diamonds does not actually reflect any true scarcity or lack thereof, which we'll get into with De Beers.
There. Yeah.
So De Beers historically owned 85% of the active diamond market.
Wow.
And over 92% of the diamond mines in the world.
Okay. So that's a monopoly?
Yeah. And then if you imagine you're a guy that owns eight and De Beers says, hey, we're not selling as many diamonds this year. You're going to, you know, you're cutting back your to this. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to do that.
I'd be like, hey.
And then they're going to eat your other eight, you know.
Oh. And then I'd really be like, hey.
So a thing that De Beers is famous for is they own everything from the mines to the distributing system to the central selling organizations. They own the whole process.
The whole operation.
So that's how
no middleman.
There's nothing. It's just them.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it, but that's how they kind of got to diamonds to be this big, astronomical, stupid number. Mining and trading companies owned by subsidiaries are generically named, like some of the ones we were talking about. So there's all these companies that they pretend to be separate.
Okay.
From mining, from distributing, from retail.
But they're all
wrong. They're all De Beers.
That's crazy.
That's all De Beers.
That's like nowadays with all the big companies buying up all the small local businesses, keeping the names the same, but they're all run and operated by one big
100%
corporation.
This is who they learned it from.
Yeah, the De Beers model.
De Beers is much older than any of those major conglomerates that are around today.
Oh, yeah.
They're known for, keep in mind, they bought it when diamonds were worth nothing. They were like, I got it. We got an idea.
Shiny.
So knowing for influence of supply and demand and controlling prices, they have it all the way down where they have, diamonds are not rare and whatsoever. As far as when we talk about gemstones and precious materials and stuff like that, they're none of those. They're common. Mm-hmm. They're very, very, very common. What De Beers did is they bought the whole diamond industry out. And we'll talk about the family that owns it. You're going to be surprised.
That owns the...
That originally owned De Beers. They did this.
Oh, okay.
Basically, they bought it and they hid and pulled back and hoarded every diamond for like 10, 15, 20 years. And then they slowly trickled some out and they started this gigantic campaign. You know, where your diamonds are a girl's best friend. You don't really love her if it's not, you don't get her a diamond.
Right.
And they decimated and killed the other gemstone markets. I mean, think about the last time you've seen somebody actually wearing an emerald or wearing a ruby. Or something like that, or kunzite, you know.
Nearly as common at all.
Think about it.
It's
diamonds. It's diamonds. It's diamonds and diamond diamonds. I cannot think of the last time I've seen a piece of turquoise that wasn't on somebody my grandmother's age.
Right, yeah. Or that wasn't, you know, at least on a ring or anything, it's always diamond. 100% it's a diamond.
Yeah. So, like I said, major thing. The majority of diamond mines sold were sold to De Beers when they started taking control. External buying offices completed the purchases for buying outside. So even what that means is even the companies that they did not own, which is a very small percent of the market, they are almost exclusively selling their diamonds to De Beers.
Gotcha. So,
almost 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't mining them, they were selling the ones that other people were mining.
The company sells them 10 times a year at site, which this means De Beers has the sole power to determine how many diamonds to sell and at what price. Vast amounts of research is done. So what this means is they only buy diamonds 10 times a year from these external companies. And they come in and look at it, and they tell you how much they're going to buy them from.
Right.
So they run everything. So
they're setting the market. Yeah. They're doing everything, yeah.
So there's 125 to 250 site holders invited to the CSO purchasing of diamonds.
Okay.
So it's this group that comes on. So the iron hand of De Beers. Site holders virtually are powerless at site. Can only accept or reject boxes.
Okay.
Not allowed to negotiate, not allowed to sell to retailers who will lower their prices. They must give De Beers information about the market and inventory, and De Beers has the right to come and audit them.
Wow.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So if you're coming to buy diamonds for your company,
yeah,
from De Beers, it's called a parcel. Like if you ever watch like the Opal shows in Australia and stuff like that, it's called parcels, or this, you know, it's boxes and diamonds where it's a unit.
Okay.
There's 50 diamonds in here. I don't know.
You right.
know, 500 diamonds. You can either accept, there's just a cost on it, there's no negotiating, whatever, it's $500,000, $2 million,
yeah,
you know, $50 million for this box. So they only invite like 125 to 250 people a year, 10 times a year, to come and buy diamonds.
To buy them from, yeah.
You can only accept or reject, there's no negotiation. You're not allowed to sell to retailers who will sell lower prices than market value at the time.
Dang.
So if you will get in major trouble, you've signed all these contracts and stuff, that if you sell to a retailer that's going to lower the price of diamonds,
yeah,
it's on your head.
Okay. It'd be like someone selling gas to Bucky's.
If
Bucky's was still allowed to.
Bucky's is the anti-De Beers.
Right, yeah.
Bucky's be like, hey, you want gas for a dollar?
Here you go. Come in and buy a burrito.
I was going to say, buy 4 pounds of chuck roast.
Yeah, we got it.
I have.
It's like, all right.
It is Bucky's really good barbecue.
Got me again. I'll buy
it's
a
very unique barbecue.
I'll buy a grill, too.
They must give De Beers information about the market and the inventory. That means they have to complete tracking of the entire market and who and when all diamonds are being sold.
Dang, nice.
And De Beers has the right to come and audit them and the people they sell to.
That's crazy.
So if they think that, you know, you may be reported back that you're selling at this cost, right?
Right.
But you may be selling lower. De Beers agent will just come in.
And check you out. And then what? Will they arrest you?
Well, let's talk about punishments and rewards.
Oh, wow.
Diamond supply is their punishment and reward. Perhaps you've been slightly naughty, but let's see what we can do next time, said the diamond supply or the diamond dispute shareholder who disobeyed the rules.
Okay. So someone should have took these people out back a long time ago.
They're too big now.
A long time ago.
Like I said, I don't believe the government actually runs anything. I don't believe any politician runs it. It's these people. It's
something like people like this, yeah.
They crawl to the earth with diamonds in their pocket.
It's organized crime.
It's well beyond that.
I mean, it is still what it is.
I think it's whatever the next step above. Organized crime, I don't know. I think depends.
Very well organized crime.
This is like world dominancy.
Right, yeah.
This is super villain stuff. Like, organized crime to me is like, I guess, people, right? There's still a guy. Like, if you shoot Fat Tony in the head.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the lower levels.
That's what I'm saying. That's organized crime. This is like world domination. This is super villain stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about some incidents.
Okay.
The Israel incident. I knew you were going to be excited.
Our buddies.
In the 1970s, an Israel merchant hoarded diamonds during the period of high inflation to try to profit. So they created a shortage, driving prices up. Now, that's really bad because that's De Beers' job.
Uh-oh.
So someone's getting
in trouble.
De Beers was concerned that they no longer had complete control of the supply market.
So what are they going to do?
Here's why they were scared. Once a hoard of diamonds was dumped into the market, prices would immediately drop and they would no longer be rare.
Right.
Like, they have warehouses just packed full of diamonds.
Right.
You know, they're probably not even mining diamonds anymore. They probably mined all the ones they wanted in the 50s
for, right,
you know, like 200 years.
Exactly. For generations.
So the Israel incident continued. To force Israel to sell their inventories, De Beers did this. They changed temporary subcharges at CSO to create sudden price fluctuations and make speculated risk. They allocated 20% less diamonds to Israel, and they outright banned any Israeli share or site holders from site sales.
So they banned them from coming in and...
They banned them from any Israeli national to come in and buy diamonds.
Yeah.
They first off pulled 20% diamonds away from Israel, So there was no access to buy. And that's the kind of the point they were kind of trying to sell still to Israel, but at no excess.
Right.
So
yeah.
Nobody can hoard them.
Right.
And they changed a lot of laws. They were forcing the price to kind of get them out of being able to do this.
Israel.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't Israel as a whole. It was Israeli buyers.
Right.
Buyers.
Right.
It was just people in Israel.
The merchants, or I don't know what.
So Israel ended up selling their complete stocks and following De Beers' orders.
Rolled over. Now, show them their belly.
There is more conspiracy with that.
Okay.
Saying that I think one of these princes' sons may have had some a bad car wreck and that kind of, you know, some Clinton stuff may have happened.
Okay.
To make them be like, yeah, okay, take the diamonds.
Oh, to make them roll over. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, probably. It's kind of how this stuff usually
works. So they're anti-cooperative tactics. If price of diamonds are falling, De Beers will hoard inventory by selling this. They accumulated about $2 billion in diamonds in 1984 after allowing prices to rise too much. And then they suddenly sold off the market at $5 billion in 1990. Gosh. That's just one example. They charge higher prices to site holders. So whenever the price of diamonds is going down too much, De Beers will force it up.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. If new suppliers emerge, what will they do? Well, they would flood the market with similar diamonds at below market prices. So De Beers cannot allow that.
Nope, that would throw out their plan.
The Zaire incident. Zaire was not satisfied with the CSO site sale conditions.
I think it's Zaire.
Zaire, maybe.
I think so.
Decided to sell one of the industrial diamond-free markets. De Beers responded by flooding the market with similar diamonds at below market prices. Zaire came back to De Beers and asked for readmission into the cartel.
Did they get back in?
De Beers accepted them and offered them even worse terms.
Oh, wow. So now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
So, yeah, this guy basically was not happy with how this was going. So he decided to sell on industrial diamonds at free market, you know,
right,
to actually allow a market to work how a market's supposed to work. So De Beers literally just dumped.
They flooded their market.
Yeah, his direct market and just killed him.
Yeah.
Made it with diamonds worth cents. You know?
Right.
And then he came back in and he just accepted the worst terms.
Right, yeah. Man, well, that's the bullying tactic. It worked.
Controlling demand. Highly effective advertising. Over 70% of American women own at least one diamond. Done through movies, magazines, celebrities, and even the British royal family has been decorated in De Beers diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Used to shift focus on type of diamond companies they want to sell. So what this means, you know, the diamond companies want to sell. Basically, they are pushing certain things when they want to sell at this company. If it's, you know, so like I said, they own all these companies.
Right, yeah.
So they create this false rivalry. So like these two diamond merchants that are across the street and I can beat that guy's price. They're the same guy.
It's all an illusion.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
So the diamonds are is forever. Campaign used to convince people not to sell or buy used diamonds. And it's worked. That a diamond is like a one-time thing. Like you buy a diamond, it's your diamond.
Right.
Selling back diamonds are worth nothing. Like it's, you know. Yeah. So how do you like it so far?
That's actually a good idea for marketing. Like for...
Oh, they are probably the best marketers in the world.
World. Literally, yeah. Because like, yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit there and, you know, you're hard on hard times and you want to sell your diamond that's worth millions of dollars. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. I'm being sarcastic. But you want to sell it. And then someone else buys that diamond for cheap. That's not good for De Beers. You got to be buying all the new stuff.
Yeah. No, you can't buy it. Yeah.
It's like every company now, like everything they make it all disposable. So it all breaks. You can't reuse it, resell it.
100%.
You have to keep buying new.
So antitrust violations. In 1994, the U.S. Department of Justice charged De Beers and General Electric with conspiring to fix prices of industrial diamonds.
Wow.
These two companies allegedly provided evidence notifying each other about the prices and goods.
Okay.
So anybody knows about... Do you know about General Electric?
What about it?
Do you know they're a war machine?
The GE company?
Yes. The refrigerator company?
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know that's the smallest part of their business?
Oh, they make weapons of war, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They made all kinds of motors from... Yeah. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So these two were in cahoots and price fixing against multifaceted industries. So De Beers did not stay in the diamond industry as a whole very long. As in, by
really?
They dominated it for ever. They still dominate it. I'm saying that they ventured out into other price-fixing games.
Gotcha.
Very early.
Once they found the model.
Yeah, De Beers is not just a diamond company.
Gotcha.
They are the diamond company, but they destroy and price-fix dozens, if not hundreds, of other things.
It's like McKinsey Corp.
It's probably owned by De Beers.
Probably.
You know, because I was thinking, so I...
You might be right.
Well, you know BlackRock, right?
Yeah.
Do you know its parent company? No joke, it's called Blackstone Lake the Grill.
No way.
Yeah, I just found this out the other day doing some research for something.
Oh my gosh.
You know, black diamonds are worth the most. Black stones.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, military industrial complex may be owned by De Beers. Ain't it odd? The house of God looks like a facade for training death squads proclaiming jihad. We're just saying, ain't it odd? Sorry. You know what? Every time.
You just got to get through it all. I'll let you do it.
Antitrust violations. Like I said, any De Beers employees entering the U.S. were supposed to be arrested.
Oh, supposed to be, huh?
The company was conducting business through the intermediary and agencies since 1945. In 2004, the company pled guilty and paid a fine.
Wait, what? Guilty?
They just pled guilty. Yeah, we did it.
And what?
And paid a fine.
Oh, paid a fine. That's what you said.
I want you to guess how much the fine was.
Like $1 million.
Keep in mind, you know, the diamond market on average is about $30 to $35 billion a year.
Right.
And they own 90-something percent of it.
I'm going to guess it's a very dumbly small number.
For them, yes.
You're right.
$10 million fine.
Exactly.
Allowed them to operate directly in the U.S. after they paid the fine.
Oh, my gosh. So nothing.
They paid $10,000 to start selling, like, to start owning the diamond market in the U.S. again.
Oh, my gosh. I wonder who needed that money. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, someone in our government is like, well, I need $10 million. Okay.
So, losing its grip on the market as a whole, and I don't know how much I believe this, like I said, you know, I think they're just switching it. But in the 1990s, several events happened. The Soviet Union collapsed. De Beers was in very strong cahoots with the Soviet Union.
What do you mean?
That was one of the partners they were helping with this bullying tactics of price fixing diamonds.
Okay.
Was the Soviet Union.
Okay.
So when the Soviet Union collapsed, that was one of their strong partners out the window.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
A huge Argyle mine in Australia broke off from the cartel, which we can talk about in a minute. It's Australia started producing its own diamonds as a country.
Okay.
Because in the 1990s is kind of when they, like, the TV show Bluey is like the Australian production company. Like, it's paid for, but it's its own group of guys and gals making it. But Australia really in the 1990s started refocusing in on Australia and kind of trying to push some of Australian companies and businesses up.
You mean populism?
I don't know what that exactly means.
Oh.
New mines were also discovered in Canada.
Diamond mines?
Yep.
Okay.
And an increasing popularity of synthetic diamonds.
Oh, okay, okay. So wait, how'd that happen? How's that work?
Basically, you can make synthetic diamonds forever, like in the 40s and 50s.
Well, didn't Jimmy Neutron do it?
Yeah, but in the 90s is when we started figuring out how to do it fast, or faster.
Oh, okay. Oh, and no, then, wait, that was pearls, sorry, from pearls. Clams.
Because I don't know if you remember in Mythbusters when they did the homemade diamonds and peanut butter in like the microwave.
Vaguely.
Do you remember how they made the diamonds in that? It was explosives.
No.
They're basically taking like, you know how you make pearls now is you put like a core into the muscle and it coats it.
Right.
So they were doing the same thing. They're basically taking these like carbon, essentially balls, like basically little balls of coal.
Okay.
And putting between these like two giant, and I'm really simplifying it, putting it between these two giant pressure plates. And setting off two massive explosions on each end of the pressure plate.
Okay.
So these two pressure plates were slamming into each other.
Very aggressively.
Very, very, very hard. And the result was diamonds.
Interesting.
So that is not practical for industrial production.
No, not really.
And you
really.
Have no control of it.
Yeah.
They now have like actual like lab facilities for this. Like hyperbolic, not hyperbolic chambers, but basically these chambers that will grow seed diamonds very quickly.
That's relatively pretty speaking. Cool.
So, yeah. Like I said, the market share, now it's not a huge drop.
Is De Beers the one behind developing these?
I think they may own. I think they may have bought it now. I don't think they were the ones that bought it or that were kind of
first doing it.
Yeah, because I think they would just stuck with what they were doing.
Right, you would think so.
Another thing in the 1990s is the diamond market got its face shown for the first time. The term blood diamond, that's when it kind of really started getting passed around.
Yes.
And some of the documentarians that were, like, you could not get near these mines. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, these little kids, like, dying in the bottom of these pits, these open fissures in the earth that just looks like a scar.
Wasn't Elon's dad part of that?
Emeralds. He did emeralds.
Same difference.
A little different. They're green, not clear.
But the same process and kids dying.
Yeah, no, there's whole people that spent their whole lives in these mines.
Jeez.
From birth, I'm not joking, from birth to death.
It's awful.
So when journalists are still journalists, you know, some of them were getting in there and actually getting this out.
Yeah.
So then the ethically sourced diamonds became a bigger thing in the population of the market, where, well, we want proof of where this came from. De Beers didn't offer that. Ooh. Because De Beers was very secretive about where the diamonds were coming from and all that.
Right, yeah.
So now these smaller companies had a niche they could fill. If we can show you how we track these diamonds and where they actually come from,
yeah,
you know, then we can sell at competitive rates. And, you know,
they got a way to fight back.
Yeah, they got their market niche.
Yeah.
So this, all these components caused a market share from, like I said, they own like 85% of the market.
Right.
Directly.
De Beers.
And then probably another 10% indirectly.
Yeah.
This caused that 85% to drop down to 65%.
Oh, no.
Still pretty much a monopoly.
Still dominating the market.
But this is the first signs of them starting to lose control.
Right, yeah.
Of these little, and I think that there was a partially, too, that they were starting to spread themselves to thing. Like I said, they were getting involved in many other price fixing things. They were touching some other major companies and players in the world at the time, you know. So I think that is kind of like the rug got pulled under them, right?
Right,
a little bit. Is it both the synthetic diamonds and the blood diamond thing at the same time kind of was two big nails that, I mean, they really couldn't pick one to fight.
Just reshape their whole image.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing, like, right now, so a lot of the De Beers companies, these retailers, sell synthetic diamonds. But have you ever been in, and they kind of, the salespeople purposely kind of talk down about the synthetic diamonds?
Okay.
Though they don't say that they're bad or anything like that, but they're like, well, that's just a synthetic diamond. You know, the language they use is very demeaning towards those things.
Right.
Like, but,
which is a sales tactic. Yeah,
it is, but it's like, if I take these away and I mix them up.
Right, yeah.
And I hand it back to you. Is there any way you can tell me that this is a synthetic diamond after you don't know where it came from?
I bet no.
You know how you can tell?
Under a microscope?
Yeah, basically. The real diamond has more imperfections.
Oh, wow, okay. So it looks less
good.
Like good, yeah.
The synthetics are better.
See, well, I mean, that's just how in the eye of the beholder, you know?
Yeah, you know, an African child die and pollute a massive body of water to get me this diamond? Or did Jill from down the street in the lab grow this in a week?
Well, that makes you appreciate the other one more now, though, when you put it that way. It's like, well,
you know,
a kid died for this. Water, world is polluted for this. I better take good care of it.
Yeah, to me, it's just like, this should never exist.
Or that.
This is from the Nephilim trying to lead you into digging them out of the ground.
Probably. Like, these worthless things.
Diamonds.
Yeah. Diamonds are probably what's keeping them in the ground.
Well, I think it's just,
you take enough out and
it's like quartz, right?
They'll escape like those things on
So the aftermath.
Hercules.
So it seems as if they stopped trying to completely control the market, instead focusing on their own marketing and branding strategy since 2004. So that's kind of like from the 1990s to 2004 is that start of their collapse as far as the monopoly goes. De Beers is not gone anywhere, believe me.
Right.
You know, they're just still their sales a powerhouse.
Their sales may have gone down a tick. They, instead of making $100 billion this year, they made $90.
Well, we'll talk about how much they made this year. So they spent $180 million on marketing in the U.S. alone in 2004, trying to bring back. And that was actually this big campaign against synthetic diamonds. They partnered with stuff like Louis Vuitton and open retail outlets and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they completely kind of switched their models, trying to regain some of the shareholder or some of the market hold. 2003, they earned sales of
$42 billion.
$5 billion.
Five?
And only income, $676 million.
Oh, dang it.
But when they were doing, you know, 30 $1 billion. That's a right. big difference.
I know, but I just
that's
can't.
A whole decimal or a whole comma.
I just don't know, like, how I could, you know, function or live life only making, you know,
you'd never see me again.
$5 billion only, you know,
I'd buy a large Australian rainforest.
I just don't know if I could financially function. You know, I don't know how they do it. It's a miracle.
So many economists agree De Beers has been the most successful monopoly in the world's history.
Okay, that's probably true. He
used numerous tactics from everything from, you know, actual ethical tactics to, we didn't really touch on the murdery side of things, but that happened a lot.
Maybe that's a future episode.
Everything I'm reading is from Berkeley University.
Yeah.
William Yu, it's his one of his presentations. A monopoly fell apart after it could no longer stop other entrants. That was the big thing. So they're still around. Like, I think today they're only at like 53% or something like that. Mm. They're literally about to lose major market hold. And it's because of these synthetic diamond companies. Like, because you can start one in your house, essentially.
Really?
Like, if you have the equipment. I mean, I'm not saying the equipment's cheap.
Right, right, right.
And but if the you, knowledge if, is not easy to come by. You have to be.
But one could acquire this stuff.
People do it.
Yeah.
There are synthetic diamond companies that are, like, in the shop in the backyard.
Hey, you want to start our the Shaq diamond mine?
You know, one of the few scientists I don't know a lot of people in is probably geology.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know any of them, is what I'm saying.
I think I know a geologist or two.
But, yeah. What do you think about De Beers?
I mean, I'm impressed, actually, by the way you know, they make diamonds seem...
Yeah, they're not rare whatsoever.
Right. And they make them just by making, having the illusion that they are, how that can influence price so dramatically. And then it's a huge sign of the way propaganda works, you know, to manipulate people. And not just to spend money, but for like a lifestyle thing. You know, most women are, you know, what kind of... Are you getting me a ring? Like, how big's a diamond? You know?
That's they did that. Right. They did that.
And that's a major part of our culture, like for marriage and stuff, you know.
It's a useless rock. I love emeralds.
Yeah, oh, me too. I love
gemstones. I really do. But they're rocks, right?
Yeah.
They're just rocks.
But I like rocks.
But literally, our creek in Michigan, you can get, I can't remember, there's like 10 gemstones you can just find.
Right, yeah.
Just go out and get one.
Right.
That's more special. And just go pay a jeweler to cut it.
I agree with that, yeah.
Whether it's got inclusions and stuff like that, it doesn't matter.
I like the inclusions.
So you want to hear some of
the inclusive?
Want to hear some of the bad stuff?
We haven't heard it yet.
No, no. Tens of thousands of people died in one go here and one go there from De Beers.
Is that at a mine or?
Huh?
At a mine.
So, oh, I didn't even tell you what family started De Beers. Yeah. You want to guess?
Yes, let me guess here. Okay,
I'll give you three guesses. It is a
Rockefeller
household. Oh, let me give you the hints. Okay. It is a household name.
Okay.
Specifically in the last couple of years, it has come back, the name.
The name has come back in the past couple of years, okay.
Well, there's a man that made the family name well famous.
Okay.
The man changed the world. I didn't say for the good or the bad.
Edison?
A good guess. No.
Is it someone like close to that? Like the family? Franklin?
I would say Edison, Franklin. Yeah, that's kind of the same vein, you know, famous sciencey people.
Well, there's two guesses. So third guess.
Got famous in the 40s.
Famous in the 40s.
And then re-famous a couple years ago.
Same guy?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
He's not alive.
Can't be Tesla because, no, I don't believe that.
I didn't say it was Tesla.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
I don't know who.
Oppenheimers.
Oh, wow.
The Oppenheimer family started De Beers.
I would never have guessed that. Same family as, like, the bomb guy?
Hmm?
Same family as the bomb guy?
Yeah, I don't think he was, like, directly related to any of the...
So it's German-owned.
Essentially, but most of the world, you know, after the U.S., we have German last names.
Well, that's true.
You know, they were probably... When they started the company, they were an American family.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was well before Oppenheimer was even alive.
Okay. So he's just part of
the Oppenheimer, the scientist.
Right, right.
But it's just a family group.
The bomb guy.
Yeah. I don't think they're directly... I don't think they're closely related.
Okay.
But just was one of those names that, like, the second you see it, like,
what are the odds, though? That's not a very common name.
So Cecil Rhodes, A Bad Man in Africa. The Cecil Rhodes, Cecil Rhodes and De Beers Diamond Genocides.
Mm.
What's a genocide?
Mass killing of people?
It's more specifically.
Killing without, like, specific people, like, wiping out an entire group of people?
Yes, it's everybody.
Yeah.
It's wiping,
like, non-discriminate.
Like, no, it's like, normally it's like everybody. Sometimes it can be a race.
Right.
Like, the Holocaust was a genocide.
Right.
Because it was, you know, it was picking a certain religious sect and killing those people.
Right. Kind of like they did to the Christians, too, during the same time.
100%. But I'm just saying that's a genocide. Is normally it's
targeting
specific
people and just wiping them out.
For reasons.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they're not good reasons. But,
right. Like right now, like Gaza Strip right now.
Yeah. Just because they're there.
Just because they're there and they want – that's land that we want.
So this Weeding. This is a bad man. Cecil Rhodes is a bad man.
Go on.
You talk for a second. I'm just – okay. I'm kind of skipping around since I've used up a lot of the time already.
I want to know the bad stuff this bad man.
Well, I mean, he dealt with a lot of Nazis.
Was he on the side of De Beers? Killed,
yeah, he worked with De Beers.
So he was like their hitman?
Yeah. Yeah. He ran mobs in Africa.
Oh, wow.
To help secure the diamonds. He was extremely, extremely racist. Mobs to kill their opponents. Sometimes they were uniformed, sometimes they weren't. Like, so Cecil was kind of the in-between guy. That kind of organizes stuff.
Yeah, man, for the mercenary for hire, basically.
But I'm trying to get to where the bad one was. There was, well, like, they killed hundreds, you know, hundreds if not tens of thousands of people. But they launched a brutal war against the people of Sierra Leone. They murdered 50,000 of them.
Oh my gosh!
And they mutilated a further 20,000 of them.
Jeez. That's awful.
Because they wanted to keep their diamond mine.
Yeah, that's so awful.
They did not keep their diamond mine.
They didn't? After all that?
No, they're all dead. And the ones that are left are mutilated.
Oh, you mean the people that got killed wanted to keep their diamond
mine? Yeah, they're like, you know, we want to keep our diamond mine a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I understand what you're saying. I thought you meant like De Beers wanted to keep theirs. No, they wanted their diamond mine.
Yeah, hey, we're here to buy the diamond mine. Oh, no, we're going to keep ours. We'll sell you diamonds.
Hiya!
Are you okay? Explosions.
Yeah. Hiya! That's and then a head rolling.
And then a head rolling.
Yeah.
No, they all died.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
No, it's not. It's awful.
It's just that it's insane that nobody talks about this, and it's still a major diamond player. They also worked a lot with the Nazis.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Nobody remembers that, though. De Beers is very good, like the Cecil Rhodes thing, and like about picking certain people to be the middleman.
Yeah.
So that they're not directly connected.
Right.
Like Cecil Rhodes literally led mobs of uniformed and ununiformed to just murder people just for diamonds.
You got to have that strong arm somehow.
Well, I mean, he was one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you think about De Beers?
You know, like I said, I'm very impressed with the way they were able to manipulate the market by just the illusion of something being expensive. It's kind of like the GameStop stock market thing where when people tried to take control, and they did, and it disrupted a bunch of rich people's money. Somehow the rules got changed.
Yeah.
And to make sure that stopped happening. And
I'm checking my stocks because you said it.
Right, yeah. And so, like, this is just a prime example of that happening back. You know, this has just happened throughout time. Doesn't matter what era we're in. People are going to get screwed by people with more money, basically, that can control things, that can buy our government. We're just not living the American dream like we were meant to. And, you know, I think De Beers is an example that sometimes we, the people, should just drag people out in the streets and get the guillotines ready. It's meant to happen. It's time. The government's pushing us this way. They're making it harder and harder. We've got floods happening. Our country, our middle America, our working class is getting flooded, falling apart. They're in need of help. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.